Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started, my dog just got a new toy today, and he will not stop playing with it. And he decided right now was the perfect time to be playing with it. And so if you hear some random squeaking in the background, I apologize. That is my dog. But anyways, let's get right into the matchup from last night of Thursday Night Football between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. It started out as a kind of a close game. It looked like the Packers were going to get something going offensively. But then it just kind of stalled out, and I mean, their defense looked like shit. I mean, they made Ryan Tannehill look like one of the best quarterbacks in the freaking league. I mean, he was lighting them up. As a matter of fact, he went 22 for 27, 333 yards and 2 touchdowns, and I mean, he was ripping them apart. There were some deep passes that he was just getting, just hitting the mark on, and it was just crazy to watch. And then, of course, you know, you got Derrick Henry. He had a solid game of 87 yards and a touchdown. And then their defense, of course, stepped it up as well. They made some huge, huge plays, especially at the end of the game there to make sure that they sealed the deal and got the win. And the Titans ended up getting the win 27-17. It was another poor showing from because the Packers offense, it started out like it looked like they were gonna be okay and kind of continue what they started last week. But then the second half, they really just petered out. They really couldn't get it going. Aaron Rodgers was off on a couple of passes, so it kind of makes you wonder if that thumb injury of his is starting to bother him. I mean, I imagine it is. It's on his throwing hand, number one. Number two, it was freezing-ass cold last night, so I'm just sure his hand was probably frozen and could barely move to begin with. So he just kind of had an off night. And then, but then I will say, Christian Watson seems to be the guy that Aaron Rodgers now can start to rely on because he caught another 2 touchdowns last night and made a couple more big grabs that he needs to do. But it ultimately was not enough for the Packers. And it kind of feels like the Packers season is just dwindling away further and further from the playoffs as the season goes on. And they really have a slim shot at the playoffs now at this point. In other news from last night's game, the Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing immediately received a DUI last night at about 4:30 in the morning in Tennessee. So basically it kind of sounds like the Titans landed in Tennessee and homeboy immediately got a DUI right as they landed or something like that. I don't know how you get a DUI immediately right off the gate there, but homeboy did. So the players do the same stupid shit. You got to call out the coaches for the same stupid shit. And apparently offensive coordinator Todd Downing of the Tennessee Titans is a dumb fuck and gets a DUI right after they win their game last night. So congrats to you, dumb fuck. So let's get into the rest of week 11. I'm going to do this week's week 11 preview a little bit different this week because if you don't know, on Wednesdays, I normally do a guest appearance on my friend Simon's show, Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba. You can find that on any listening podcast streaming network that you listen to podcasts on, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, or you could just Google Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba and you'll find it. Also, I usually post our segments every Friday on my my website, katietrop.net. So you'll definitely be able to find all those on my website. But we weren't able to get it done this Wednesday. We do head-to-head where we make picks against each other. And so we weren't able to do it on his show this week. He had to go pick up his mom in San Francisco and then drive all the way back to Reno. And if you don't know, that's a fucking drive. I've done that drive quite a few times where it's usually about a 6-hour drive. there, and then about a 6-hour drive back. Also, it depends on traffic, and then also it's that time of year where it can snow over the pass up in Donner. So I'm sure it was a real fun trek for Simon, and we just weren't able to get it done this week. So I told him, give me your picks, and I will do that on my show this week. So this week, I'm going to be doing week 11 head-to-head, Katie Tropp versus Simon Ruvalcaba. And so last week, he actually gained a couple games on me. He went 10-4, and I went 8-6, but I still have a pretty nice lead right now, 91 games to his 83. Although he did gain a game last night because I had the Packers winning 20-14, and he actually took the Tennessee Titans to win 27-20. So he gained a game on me, and so now Simon has 84 wins on the season, and I'm still stuck at 91. So we'll see how we do the rest of the weekend. So let's get into this weekend's games. So first off, we have the Chicago Bears at the Atlanta Falcons. And right now, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite. Both teams, they're pretty awful just overall. Although Chicago really has turned it on, especially Justin Fields. He just continues to get better as the season rolls on. Whereas the Falcons, I had questions about them to begin with, and now they just really are just an overall bad team. And they have had a few good wins, but overall the Falcons are just trash. Chicago's not much better, so this is going to, it should actually be a pretty decent game because it's going to be two shitty teams against each other. But I have Chicago getting the win this week, 27-17, and Simon also has Chicago winning 23-20. Then the Cleveland Browns are at the Buffalo Bills. Right now, the Bills are a 9.5-point favorite. Now, this game was supposed to be in Buffalo, but a huge snowstorm is hitting Buffalo, I believe, right now as we speak. And it's one where it's supposed to be delivering like feet of snow. I grew up in Reno, Nevada, so I know all about the horrifying effects of living in a shitty place that snows all the time. If you can't tell, I fucking hate snow. I would never move back to a place that has snow ever the fuck again. You know, sometimes there's feet of snow and you can't get to the stadium. And it's not even just the workers at the stadium may or may not be able to get there. But hey, you don't know if the players are going to be able to get there, if the Browns are going to be able to get in town. So they actually ended up moving this game to Detroit because the Lions aren't playing there this weekend. And actually it kind of works out because Buffalo will be playing Detroit in Detroit on Thanksgiving night, or Thanksgiving Day, actually. So it really just makes sense that they stay in Detroit. So this game's going to be played in Detroit. I don't think it matters where this game is going to be played. I have a feeling Buffalo is going to come out pissed off in this game because they are coming off of a 2-game losing streak, whereas the Browns are just not a good team. Pretty much the only highlight you could really discuss with this team is Nick Chubb at the running back position. And then also they do have a couple of good guys on the defensive side of the ball. Especially, you know, Myles Garrett, one of the best defensive ends in the league. But other than that, the Browns are a pretty awful team. Buffalo, like I said, they're coming off of 2 losses, so I kind of expect them to come out big and win big, 41-17. And looks like Simon agrees with me as well. He has Buffalo winning 34-20. Then it's the Philadelphia Eagles at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Eagles are a 9.5-point favorite. Really just makes sense to me. I feel like the Colts are kind of, they're hoping to get some wins. But really, they've kind of phoned their season in, whereas the Eagles are just one of the most dominant teams in the NFC, especially. And the Eagles are coming off of their first loss of the season, so I just kind of see the Eagles putting together a really nice win against the Colts 24-10. And Simon also has the Eagles winning 30-20. Then the New York Jets are at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 3.5-point favorite, and the Jets have lost 13 straight against the Patriots. So you feel like their losing streak has to come to an end at some point. I thought it was going to end the last time they faced off against each other earlier this season, but it looks like it's going to have to wait till now. New England, not looking good at all. The Jets, actually looking pretty solid. I feel like they're going to be in playoff contention probably all the way until the last week of the season. And, you know, they've really stepped it up defensively. Offensively, they're not bad. I do think they are going to finally break this 13-game losing streak against the Patriots because the Patriots are just not good. Now, I would not be shocked to see the Patriots get the win. I don't think this is going to be any type of a runaway. I do think it's going to be a close game. But I do think the Jets are finally going to get that win against the Patriots, 20-14. And Simon also has the Jets getting the win, 23-20. Then we have the Los Angeles Rams at the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Saints are a 3.5-point favorite, which that is very shocking to me. I mean, the Rams are not a good team at all, and now they've lost Cooper Kupp. He's been placed on the IR, so he's going to be out at least a month. And that's at least. He can miss more time than that, and that is really the only source of offense that the Rams have been getting at all this season. New Orleans is just a trash-ass team. There's really nothing good to say about them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. It really sucks for their defense because they do have a solid defense. But since their offense is so bad, the defense is out on the field so much that it really just it wears them out. And then the opposing offense is able to score and it just the game starts to get away from them. The Rams, while I think they're not a good team and they did lose Cooper Kupp, I think they're good enough to get past the Saints, and I've got the Rams winning 23-10, and Simon also has the Rams winning 24-16. Then the Detroit Lions are at the New York Giants. Right now, the Giants are a 3.5-point favorite. I don't believe in the Giants at all. I think they're just getting kind of lucky wins here and there, which, hey, they're playing great. They only have a couple losses on the season, so good for them. Detroit is just an awful team. They're such a weird team where they'll play you really well, but they'll still get the loss. And so I do expect them to play the Giants close in this one. I think this is probably going to be the ugly game of the week where you just get random weird scores here and there and missed field goals or just like a field goal type game. But I do expect the Giants to get the win 17-13. And Simon also has the Giants getting the win 24-23. Then the Carolina Panthers are at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 12.5-point favorite. And I that doesn't shock me at all because the Panthers are just a team that's reeling right now. They do have fight in them, so good for them. I do like to see that even though a team is not good at all, I do like to see that they're fighting in each and every game as they should because even if you're not a winning franchise, you still... you play this game to win. At least the majority of the guys do. But Baltimore's coming off of a bye week, and Baltimore just scores a lot of points, and I just kind of feel like them coming off of a bye, they're just going to annihilate the Panthers 31-17. This is the second disagreement of the week between Simon and I, though, because Simon is taking his Carolina Panthers 23-20. That does not shock me because... if you don't listen to the head-to-head picks between Simon and I, Simon is a huge Carolina Panthers fan, and I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, so it's difficult. I never pick against my team, even in the picks. Even if the Cowboys were the worst team in the league, I will never be picking against my Cowboys. I just don't do that. The main reason being I would be extremely pissed off at myself if they get that win, and I did not pick them, and I did not believe in them. I know it's just stupid fan talk right there, but that's just how I do. And Simon's kind of similar. He has picked against his Panthers a couple times this year, but I'm not shocked to see him see him pick his Panthers over the Ravens. But hey, anything can happen. That's why we play the game. Then the Washington Redskins football team Commanders are at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite. And, you know, Houston just can't get a win. I don't really expect them to get a win this week. I feel like Washington's going to do what they do against Houston, especially, and get the win 20-7. And Simon also has the Washington Commanders winning 35-20. Then the afternoon games, we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. Both of these teams are just reeling. Neither team could get going offensively. Neither team really has an identity. Denver's defense is really good, but their offense is straight trash, homie. And the Raiders are just in complete disarray. Defensively, they don't have much going on. Offensively, they do have a lot of spark plugs offensively, but they just can't seem to get it going when they need to. And both teams could really use a win. But this is the type of game where both teams are so awful, I wouldn't be shocked if it ended in a tie. But I definitely did not pick a tie. I leaned towards Denver in this one just because they're at home. I've got Denver winning a close one, 24-23. And Simon has also picked Denver to win 27-24. Then my Dallas Cowboys are at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm very shocked by that. I mean, usually the home team, the way point spreads work is if you're the home team, you automatically get 3 points, and then it just kind of they adjust things from there. So I'm actually kind of shocked to see that the Cowboys are favored in this one because the Vikings are on a 7-game winning streak. They're arguably one of the best teams, especially in the NFC side of things. So very shocked to see this because, you know, the Cowboys are coming off of a loss, and I would say a bad loss. And their defense hasn't been playing well in the last 2 games. But I do expect them to step it up. They actually do kind of own the Vikings, especially over the last few years. Their last few matchups, the Cowboys have got the best out of them in Minnesota as well. So the Cowboys do tend to play the Vikings well, especially when Randy Moss is not there, because when Randy Moss played for the Vikings, that motherfucker would score like 95 touchdowns on us. I bet the majority of Randy Moss's career touchdowns are against my motherfucking Dallas Cowboys, because it kind of feels like every time they played him, they played the Vikings and Randy Moss was in uniform, God, that dude would light us up every fucking time just to pay us back for not drafting him. But I digress. I do think Dallas is going to step it up this week. I think defensively, they've been embarrassed the last couple of weeks, and they really have to step it up. Diggs actually plays Justin Jefferson very well. The last time they faced off against each other, and Trayvon Diggs was guarding Justin Jefferson, he only had something like 3 receptions and 3 yards or something like that. So they do know how to lock him down, but you got to look at it like this. The Vikings have a lot of weapons, so the defense has a huge task ahead of them. But the offense really needs to step it up, too. They have not been they were able to back up the defense in the Chicago game. But last week's game, they did not. So they really have to step it up this week. It looks like we're getting Zeke Elliott back. So I like to see that because I like the double back thing. Pollard gets us a lot of yards on the ground, but Zeke is very reliable himself. He's a great blocker as well. He really helps in the pass blocking game. And so I do expect the Cowboys to win a very close one. I feel like this is going to come down to like a final drive where it might be a last second field goal or a last second like goal line stand, something like that. And I think the Cowboys are going to get the win 28-27. This would be my third disagreement of the week with Simon, though. Simon actually has the Vikings winning 24-20. Then the Cincinnati Bengals are at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now the Bengals are a 4.5-point favorite. And the Bengals are coming off of a bye week. They've really started to get it going offensively, and I really think they're going to keep it going offensively. While usually I don't pick division matchups to be major ass kickings, I feel like this is going to be one. Steelers have not looked good all season. They don't really have much going on offensively, and even on the defensive side of things, they're very shaky at this point. So I think the Bengals are going to smash the Steelers 35-13. And Simon has the Bengals winning 23-17. Then the Sunday night game is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chiefs are a 5.5-point favorite. For me, I'm looking at the Chiefs. They have a lot of injuries right now. They're going to be missing, I think, 2 or 3 of their receivers in this game, and that's not a good thing. Well, yes, Patrick Mahomes is having a fantastic fucking season. He looks like the lead for the MVP. At some point, those kind of injuries are going to cost you, and I feel like this is going to be the game. Now, I still think they're going to score some points. I still think they're going to look good, and they are playing a division opponent, though. And while the Chargers are not a dominating team this season, they are a division opponent. So I do feel like this is going to be a close game, and I do think the Chargers are going to get the better of the Chiefs in this one, 31-28. And Simon disagrees with me on this one. He has the Chiefs winning 27-23. And usually I don't make my Monday night predictions until Monday. Since I'm doing the head-to-head, I'll go ahead and make both of our predictions for today just because that's usually how we do it on his show. So for the Monday night matchup, it's the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. This is the Mexico City game. So this is the last international game, by the way, as well. So it's going to be another big game for both teams. Right now, the 49ers are a 7.5-point favorite. Arizona just looks like a trash can-ass team. They really don't have it going on at all. Who knows if Kyler Murray's playing this week? I kind of feel like they're better off without Kyler Murray. Because Colt McCoy actually came right in and played pretty well. Now, obviously, they're not going to get rid of Kyler Murray. They just paid him a whole lot of money this offseason, but it just kind of felt like the team was a lot more cohesive with Colt McCoy in the game last week. But he's also injured, and he's been day-to-day this week. So who knows who's going to be the quarterback for the Cardinals. Whereas the 49ers, they have the number one defense in the league. Offensively, they're pretty damn good. And I just feel like the 49ers are going to win this one easily, 27-14. And Simon also has the 49ers winning 27-17. All right, and moving on to baseball, we actually had all the end-of-the-year awards announced throughout the week. So let's go ahead and get right into that. AL Rookie of the Year went to Seattle Mariners' Julio Rodriguez. He was definitely the Rookie of the Year for damn sure. I mean, he had such an amazing season for the Mariners. He was why they made the playoffs, by the way. I mean, obviously, the entire team stepped it up, but this guy, he provided such a huge spark for them and really gave them a lot of energy and life, and he gives them a really, really solid future right now. This season, he hit 28 home runs, had an .854 on-base percentage, and he reached base a total of 260 times. So congrats to Julio Rodriguez. The National League Rookie of the Year went to Michael Harris of the Atlanta Braves. The crazy thing about Michael Harris is dude did not debut until May 28th. So he didn't even start the season on the Braves starting roster. But he ended up with 19 home runs and 20 stolen bases and just was a huge X factor for this team and just yet another great player who comes up in the farm system for the Braves and just makes a huge impact immediately right off the bat. And so congrats to Michael Harris. Then AL Manager of the Year went to Terry Francona of the Cleveland Guardians. This is his third overall. Not a surprise either. Very well deserved. The Guardians actually had a very solid season. I think a very solidly surprising season as well. And then they just made a huge second half push and they were able to overtake their division and make a nice little playoff run there. And then the National League Manager of the Year went to the New York Mets' Buck Showalter. This is actually the fourth team he has won Manager of the Year with. So, I mean, that just goes to show you, Buck, he's an old school baseball guy. He's been in the league for a long ass time. He usually gets results everywhere he goes. This was actually a record-breaking year for the Mets. They won 101 games. They did fall apart towards the end of the season, especially once the playoffs got going. But overall, it was a solid season for the Mets and Buck Showalter. He was a huge part of why that was. And then the American League Cy Young winner, no surprise here, went to Justin Verlander. He was a unanimous decision for this. He is the 11th pitcher all time to win at least three or more Cy Youngs in his career. He is the fifth oldest player to ever win the Cy Young. And I mean, this was a no-brainer for me because the dude dominated. I mean, he came off of just having debilitating injuries. He hasn't played in like a year and a half. You kind of expected him to kind of peter out because he has been around forever. And, you know, at some point, you're going to fall off. Well, Verlander has yet to do so. He had an amazing season and capped off with the World Series. And now he is the unanimous Cy Young Award winner for 2022. Turning to the National League, Cy Young winner went to Sandy Alcantara of the Florida Marlins. Also unanimous and also well-deserved because he dominated the National League pitching from start to finish. He had such a low ERA throughout the entire season. He led the league in complete games. He had 6 complete games this season. I believe 1 or 2 of them were complete game shutouts. So he just carried the Marlins. And even though they didn't make the playoffs, what he did statistically is undeniable, and he absolutely deserved the Cy Young Award. And now turning to the MVP, the American League MVP was, of course, this is the duh moment of the day. That went to New York Yankees' Aaron Judge because, duh. Aaron Judge had the most dominating season behind the plate this year. I mean, we haven't seen a season like this in many, many years. And, I mean, if you exclude the steroid era, this is the first time we've seen a dude hit like this since, like, the freaking 60s. So it's just insane what Aaron Judge did this year. Unfortunately, they did not get the World Series, and of course, that's what you ultimately want. But overall, this was just an amazing season from Aaron Judge, and he had to get the MVP. He led the league in home runs basically all year. I think he led in home runs from week one all the way till the end, and he almost won the Triple Crown. So really, there was, in my opinion, I know everybody was like, well, maybe Shohei Ohtani will get it. Nah, Shohei Ohtani had an amazing season, but come on. Aaron Judge had a record-breaking, phenomenal, one-in-a-million, not-going-to-happen-in-many-years type of season. So Aaron Judge, of course, won the American League MVP. And then the National League MVP, also, I believe this is the duh moment of the day, as well as Paul Goldschmidt of the St. Louis Cardinals. He also was basically the dominating hitter of the National League. His batting average was a .317, 35 home runs, and 115 RBI. He really was the driving force for the Cardinals this season. They won their division. They went to the playoffs. And while overall they have a very solid team, Goldschmidt himself just dominated behind the plate, and he just had a great season. So those are the MLB end of the year awards. Right now the free agency season has begun. A few signings have been made, nothing of real significance in my opinion. Obviously Aaron Judge is the big guy out there. It looks like, you know, we've got DeGrom out there, Trey Turner. So there are quite a few really solid players who are going to be getting some really big-ass contracts here pretty soon. So the free agency movement in baseball has already begun, and it's only going to get hotter as the year comes to a close. All right, and I decided to do a Trop 5 today. I'm going to have a little fun with my Trop 5. At least I believe it's going to be fun because, you know, we have the stupid-ass World Cup is coming up next week, and I just wanted to let you all know before it begins, I will not be reporting on 1 second of that absolute idiocy, because I fucking hate soccer. I think soccer is the dumbest fucking sport on the planet, and you couldn't pay me money to watch that fucking shit. So I decided my Trop 5 today is going to be the Trop 5 sports I hate. It really actually wasn't easy. I was actually I pretty much did this like right off the top of my head. We'll see where soccer lands. If you can't tell by that rant, it's up there. It's pretty high up there, but I won't spoil the surprise, but soccer is for sure on this list. So let's get started with number 5 of my Trop 5 sports I fucking hate. And that would be polo. Polo is that fucking sport where those idiots, rich uppity idiots, are riding around horses in their fucking uppity clothes with their fucking uppity hats on and their fucking little mallets that they hit their little ball with. And it's really just one of those stupid sports where only rich uppity people who drink tea with their pinkies out play, like the fucking Royals. Anything that involves the Royals is absolutely stupid in my opinion. So polo is 100% one of those things. And it is number 5 on my Trop 5 sports I fucking hate. At number 4 on my Trop 5 sports I fucking hate would be any and all Olympic sports. other excluding basketball, baseball, and boxing. Now, with that being said, I have never watched any of those sports while it's done during the Olympics. Yeah, that's right. I've never watched the Dream Team or the Redeem Team or any of these fucking teams. You know why? Because I think the Olympics are fucking stupid. First and foremost, the hilarious thing about the Olympics is it's one of the most corrupt fucking groups of people of all time. Every time they have an Olympics, it'll be based in one of the worst countries you'll ever fucking find. I mean, I wonder how Sochi, Russia is doing right now, that made up fucking city. But I mean, these, and I hate both Winter and Summer Olympics. I think they're both fucking stupid. You couldn't pay me to watch that shit either. And every time it comes on, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And the worst thing about the Olympics, is that they glorify second and third place. When I see the medal count and they even count who has the most second or third place medals, I'm like, who the fuck cares? All that matters is first place. So fuck the damn Olympics. I hate the Olympics and I have always hated the Olympics since I was a child. I don't watch that shit. Don't want to watch that shit. Fuck that shit. Number three on my top five sports I fucking hate. Now, this is more a league rather than a sport that I hate. I really just wanted to put this on here just to piss people off because I think it's funny to do that. And that would be the WNBA. I fucking hate women's basketball. It is so goddamn boring. Women's basketball is like, it's like watching retards at work, in my opinion. I mean, it's so inferior to men's basketball. I mean, they can't even dunk the ball. And the way they shoot the ball, it's like, that's actually what I do if I happen to leave my TV on and somehow I see some shitty ass women's basketball game on when they're like running across the court and they fling up the ball and they don't even know how to shoot like a man either. They don't do flick of the wrist. They do like this fucking squat and then they like throw it up there and it just looks so dumb. But when I do happen to see that shit, it's just like every time they throw the ball up, I go, "Wee! Yay! Hooray!" But, and then there's like three people in the crowd. So I'm so sick to death of the media trying to slam WNBA basketball down our fucking throats. Because for the most part, none of us give a shit about women's basketball. Nobody watches it for a reason. And it's because it's boring as fuck. Now, if you like it, cool. Good for you. But you're like the one. But me, I hate that shit. It's boring. Stop fucking shoving that shit down our throats. None of us want to watch it. And if we wanted to watch it, we would have been watching it. If we want to watch real basketball, we'll turn on some men's basketball. So thanks. Then at number two on my top five sports I fucking hate, that would be golf. Golf has got to be the most boring shit of all time to fucking watch. Oh my God, that shit, I don't even know how some of y'all watch that shit. Now, playing it is way different to me because while it's not my thing, I never really got into playing golf. I can play it. I have actually taken lessons when I was like 12-ish around there. So, and I wasn't bad at it either. I see why people play it, but watching it, Jesus Christ, I don't even know how you can even stand watching that shit. And the hilarious thing to me is it's kind of similar to the Olympics where it's like a whole bunch of corrupt ass sexist racist pigs run this fucking shit. And then they fucking bitch and complain when a new league is started. Like right now with that that LIV league that was started by the Saudi Arabians. They want to fucking act like, oh my God, the horrible Saudi Arabians, and how could you switch leagues? And it's like, yeah, at least you get fucking paid over by the Saudi Arabians. And then they try to act like they give a shit about human rights. It's like, yeah, isn't this a sport that just now let blacks and women play on some of their courses recently? I mean, I know women are still banned from some golf courses in America still to this day. So get off your high and mighty fucking Saudi Arabian high horse, because the PGA is just as corrupt and scumbaggery as Saudi Arabian. So take your hypocrisy and shove it up your fucking ass, PGA. And then number one, on my top five sports I fucking hate. If you should have been able to guess. You really should have been able to guess. And that would be soccer. I hate soccer more than anything on this fucking planet. It is so dumb, nonsensical, and pussified. The biggest pussies on the planet play soccer. If you have a conversation with a soccer player, there's no bigger cunt on the face of this earth than a fucking soccer player. All you have to do is say soccer sucks and... How dare you say that about soccer? It's the most popular sport in the entire world. And you just like look at them and you go, who the fuck cares? It ain't popular over here in America, number one, because it's not. There are plenty of fucking statistics to show that. The only time people in this country even pay attention to that shit is when it's a World Cup and nobody even really gives a flying fuck. You pretend to care and then nobody remembers the shit that happens. Nobody goes on to discuss it like we do Super Bowls or World Series or Aaron Judge breaking the home run record. Nobody sits around and talk about soccer like that. Not only is it pussified, but it's so dumb. The ball goes out of bounds like the entire time. I will never forget. The last time I was forced to watch a shitty soccer match, I was on my lunch break at work and I happened to be at a pizza place. And so I was just sitting there eating pizza and was a World Cup. So it must have been like 4 years ago or some shit like that. I don't recall because I don't give a shit. It was soccer. And I remember sitting there eating my pizza and like on every single TV, I think there was like three TVs in there, had some gay ass soccer game on. And so I'm just glancing at it and just chuckling the whole time because the ball is just going out of bounds. Every time a dude kicks it, flies out of bounds, throw it back in, dude kicks it, flies out of bounds. I'm like, dude, no wonder why these shitty games end in fucking 0-0 ties. Cause this game's stupid and the ball is just going out of bounds the entire fucking time. Also, in soccer, exactly like the fucking Olympics, ran by a bunch of corrupt-ass morons. I mean, this year's World Cup is in Qatar, who just announced that nobody's allowed to even drink alcohol in the stadium. Like, what's that? Oh, also, us single people, we're not allowed to have sex there. And if we have sex there and it's found out, you get arrested for it. You also can't be gay there as well. So, Qatar, amazing. Amazing place to live, it sounds like, and have a soccer tournament. So congratulations, soccer. You are assholes too, but just a stupid, dumbass sport. I hate soccer. So if you thought I was going to be giving you any World Cup updates for the next couple of weeks, the answer is no, I won't be doing that because I fucking hate soccer and I won't be paying one second of attention to that. I might laugh if the American team loses. I might do that. But then again, I might not because the American team always loses. You know why? Because Americans aren't all about soccer. Americans are all about real football. That would be NFL football. So on that note, everybody, you enjoy the weekend of real football. Also, we got a whole bunch of basketball on tap. And I guess if you're a World Cup fan, I hope you enjoy your gay-ass little soccer bullshit. But like I said, I won't be watching that, and there will be no soccer updates on the Sports Talk with Trop show. So, yeah, I will talk to you grandmotherfuckers on Monday.